The Espousal, Song of Solomon 3, verses 1 through 11. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. I will rise now and go about the city in the streets, and in the broad ways I will seek him whom my soul loveth. I sought him, but I found him not. Song of Solomon 3, verses 1 through 2. This shows the one who had been taking it easy. The bed speaks of ease and comfort, and night speaks of sorrow and separation from her Lord. She found that she had lost communion with him again. Once before there was a lapse in chapter 1 where she was occupied with service through which she lost the sweet fellowship and communion with the Lord. Now again, because of her indifference to the Holy Spirit's revealing power and truth, she has lost fellowship with him. She feels it now, and she begins to go looking for him. The watchmen that go about the city found me, to whom I said, "Saw ye whom my soul loveth?" It was but a little that I passed from them, but I found him whom my soul loveth. I held him and would not let him go until I had brought him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Song of Solomon 3, verses 3 and 4. The Holy Spirit is God's agent, not only in the conviction of sinners in their need of a Savior, but also in stirring up the saints and drawing them away from the things of the flesh and of the world unto Christ. As Eliezer, the servant of Abraham, went searching for a bride for Isaac, so the Holy Spirit is searching among believers today for one who has an ear for his voice, that he might reveal more of the truth concerning Christ to that one. The one who is aroused from sleep even inquires of the watchmen or ministers if they can tell her where she can find her beloved. She continues her search until she finds him. She brings him into the house of Mother Grace. Grace is the only basis upon which she can have fellowship with him. Sarah is a figure of the covenant of grace and of Jerusalem above, which is the mother of us all. Galatians 4:26. In Titus 2, verses 11 through 13, we have a most precious lesson which Mother Grace teaches us. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace does not allow us to be lax in our walk, but she surely teaches us to walk in a holy, separated way. Unless we judge our flesh and walk in a holy manner in this world, we will miss this wonderful prize that is set before us. We will not be chosen as the bride of Christ. The bridal company will be those who walk godly in this world, those who really are transformed into the image of God's Son. That is the purpose of the Holy Spirit in our lives today, to lead us into a separated walk. He reveals Christ in us, and there is no place for worldly lusts in this training that we receive from Mother Grace. Studies in 2 Corinthians. While this woman is in fellowship with her beloved, she learns the truth that is taught in 2 Corinthians, the book of worship, the book of priestly ministry. The first 5 chapters teach us the marvelous results of Christ having offered himself on the cross. 2 Corinthians 1 is the burnt offering. This chapter sets forth the burnt offering aspect of Christ's redemption, which shows Christ as wholly devoted to do his Father's will, even unto death. He was both able and willing to make atonement for those who were neither able nor willing to do the will of God. 2 Corinthians is the peace offering. The peace offering phase of redemption is shown here. Christ has brought God and man together through his sacrifice. He has made peace by the blood of his cross, Colossians 1:20, and has reconciled us unto God. Our fellowship with God and our fellowship with one another rest upon the reconciliation which Christ has made. Only as we walk in the Spirit can we maintain this sweet relationship with God and with the saints. 2 Corinthians 3, the meat or meal offering. This shows Christ as the meat or meal offering. As a man, Christ lived under the law and was tested by the law. He was proven to be perfect in all his ways, which was symbolized by the fine flour of the meal offering. Only a handful of the meat offering with oil and frankincense was burnt upon the altar of burnt offering. And when any will offer a meat offering unto the Lord, his offering shall be of fine flour, and he shall pour oil upon it, and put frankincense thereon. And he shall bring it to Aaron's sons, the priests, and he shall take thereout his handful of the flour thereof, with all the frankincense thereof. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar, to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. Leviticus 2, verses 1 and 2. The result to us of this offering is that the law of commandments was done away in Christ, and that the law of love is now written in our hearts through the ministry of the New Testament, or the gospel of the grace of God. In 1 Corinthians 3, we're shown the contrast between law and grace. It shows the greater privilege which we have under the new covenant. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. Romans 8, 4. We are changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ as we continually behold him and what we are in him. 2 Corinthians 4 is the trespass offering. Here we have the trespass offering aspect. Compensation is the chief thought in this offering. Under the law, the one who robbed was required to restore one-fifth more than what he had taken. But under grace, the repayment is five times more than the loss sustained, and Christ has made that restitution. In Scripture, five is the number of or represents grace. Christ has restored to God through redemption much more than the loss sustained through Adam's transgression. Romans 5. Man has also received much more than he lost in Adam. Through redemption, man has received a divine righteousness which can never be lost. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. 2 Corinthians 4, 7. God has obtained a whole new creation through Christ, the last Adam. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 45 through 49. 2 Corinthians 5, sin offering. The results of the sin offering are given here. Christ was made sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. Through that sin offering we will receive a new and glorified body, because we have been made the righteousness of God in him through his death for us. We should live no longer unto ourselves, but unto him who died and rose again. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 6, separation unto God. Here we have the pattern of the Apostle Paul's dedicated ministry as a spiritual priest, and the separation unto God which such priesthood demands. God can have no spiritual fellowship with unbelievers, and neither can we. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, cleansing of the priests. The cleansing of the priests is earnestly implored in this chapter. This cleansing is accomplished by heeding the word of God and judging ourselves by the Spirit. Defilement breaks our fellowship with God. Self-judgment restores and maintains that fellowship. 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, ministry of giving. The ministry of giving is taught in these chapters both by word and example. Giving is a part of our worship. We give ourselves first to the Lord, and then all that we have belongs to him. Some people say that we should give until it hurts. Rather, we should give until we enjoy giving. Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Acts 20:35. We find this is true. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 8. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 2 Corinthians 10, obedience of the priests. The obedience of the priests is very important. Under the old covenant, disobedience to God's word brought death to the sons of Aaron. Obedience to the word of God brings victory over the power of Satan, commendation from the Lord, and great reward to the spiritual priests. 2 Corinthians 11, suffering of the priests. The suffering of the priest is taught in this chapter by the example of the Apostle Paul. Verses 2 and 3 are the announcement of the betrothal of the church, the body of Christ. For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 2 and 3. The whole church has been espoused to Christ, as the Apostle Paul announced, but not all of the church will hear the word of the Lord. They are not willing to be separated unto the Lord, neither are they willing to suffer the reproach which a consecrated life will bring. After we have accepted this espousal and are walking with the Lord, then come persecutions and sufferings, not only from the devil, but even from legal saints who think we are too religious. 2 Corinthians 12, the glory of the priests. The glory of the priests is in their close association with Christ, the high priest. This glory was revealed to the Apostle Paul in visions and revelations. These revelations to the Apostle also brought suffering to him. Nevertheless, suffering will bring future glory to all who suffer for Christ's sake. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 18. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, power of the priestly ministry. Jesus was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. 2 Corinthians 13, verse 4. Christ's priestly ministry will never cease, for it is written, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Hebrews 5, verse 6. Paul also lived and ministered by the power of God, and so do we in this new creation. Neither will our priestly ministry ever cease. For in Revelation 5:10 we read, And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on, or over, the earth. While the Shulamite was in the house of Mother Grace, in company with her beloved, she not only learned deep spiritual lessons, but she also became a spouse to her beloved, as is announced in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 2 and 3. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the roes and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. Song of Solomon 3, verse 5. This is a placard of warning against disturbing the peace. She did not want to be disturbed in her fellowship with her lover. We do not want anyone to interrupt nor disturb our communion with our Lord. Who is this that cometh out of the wilderness like pillars of smoke, perfumed with myrrh and frankincense, with all powders of the merchant? Song of Solomon 3, verse 6. He makes the plans, and she agrees with them. In Scripture, smoke often speaks of glory, Isaiah 6, verse 4. Myrrh of suffering and frankincense of the fragrance that comes from a poured out life. All powders of the merchant speak of all the necessary spiritual cosmetics which the Holy Spirit employs to make this woman beautiful in the eyes of her beloved. She glimpses the glory of that future day when the suffering will be past and the world will be left behind. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8, verse 18. Praise the Lord. Keep looking up. Christian, look up. The dawn will soon be breaking, the glorious dawn of which God's word doth tell. Though wars increase and all the earth is shaking, fear not. Look up. Await Emmanuel. Soon thou wilt see the risen Lord of glory. Oh, what a sunrise will his advent be! Till then, proclaim the precious gospel story, redemption through the Lamb of Calvary. Christian, look up! Soon will be past forever thy pilgrim journey through this vale of tears. A home awaits thee built by Christ the Savior. No night is there, no pain, no death, no fears. With loved ones thou again wilt be united. No more to say goodbye, no more to part. The flowers of Eden by no frosts are blighted. O blessed hope, Christian, look up, take heart. Christian, look up. When dawns that glorious morrow, thy every burden thou wilt soon forget. Now with Christ's gospel comfort those in sorrow. So many eyes today with tears are wet. The way is dark, but Christ, the light supernal, will bide with thee till thy last pilgrim mile. Soon thou wilt sup with him, the King eternal. O blessed hope, Christian, look up and smile. Anna Hopi.